Good evening. Did you enjoy that? It's from Muriel's Wedding. Well, that's a typical message that we are bombarded with from our culture. And this one, I think, is aimed at our women. It didn't really do much for me. But it tells us that romance is the goal of every relationship. You'll only be content if you find and meet that perfect man. The man's devotion will be to you alone. They'll take you for long walks on the beach. You know, you'll cuddle in front of the fire. You know, they'll buy you flowers when you least expect it. They'll give you that white wedding and you'll live happily ever after. Whereas, if you're a guy like me, it's lost on us. You know, we can watch Sleepless in Seattle time and time again and still not be compelled to snuggle. But don't worry, our culture has a different message for us. It tells us blokes that the goal in every relationship is sex. It's the beginning, the end, the middle. It's the everything. Sex, sex, sex. Oh, and we buy that one, line, hook and sinker. So as Christians, how are we to understand these claims about relationships that we receive from our culture? How are we to make godly, wise decisions when it comes to relationships, and in particular, marriage? Well, the passage that we're working through today is extremely helpful. Paul gives us three pieces of advice when it comes to considering marriage. Paul invites us to think. He's inviting us to contemplate, to wrestle with, and then act upon these biblical truths that apply to our lives. Well, before we get to work this morning, let's pray. Let's give our time to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we take the time now to think about and meditate on your word, we pray that your Spirit would continue to do his good work within us. Father, we pray that we would have minds that would understand and hearts that would believe the truths that we'll encounter tonight. We pray this for your sake. Amen. Well, when it comes to considering marriage, Paul gives us his first piece of advice. Be free. And what Paul is saying in this first section, verses 25 to 28, is that we are free. We have the freedom to choose which road we head down. We are free to get married, or we're free not to get married. We have a choice. Have a look at verse 25 with me. Now about virgins, I have no command from the law, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Now, I just want to hit the pause button there. In this whole section, verses 25 to 38, Paul is addressing a particular group within a church in Corinth. Paul's giving advice to people who are betrothed to be married. They're engaged. So Paul has now changed gears. He's no longer giving advice to those who are married or to those who are separated or divorced. Now he's giving advice to those who are betrothed, those who are engaged. So we could read verse 27 in this way. Have a look. Are you bound to a woman? Are you betrothed? That's what Paul's asking. Do not seek to be loosed. Don't call off the engagement. Are you loosed from a woman? Are you not betrothed? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. So even though Paul is making the point that we have the freedom to marry or not to marry, he reminds us of something that he's already written about. And we looked at that last week. Remain as you are. Did you see that in verse 26? I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Paul encourages the engaged person to stay engaged and the person who isn't engaged to stay single, to stay unmarried. Now, last week, Gordon explained that remaining as you are was all about being content in the situation that you're in. It was about serving God and glorifying God where you're at. Paul's point here is the same. Just as a slave shouldn't make freedom the goal in life, the person who is engaged or unmarried shouldn't make marriage the goal in life. Friends, we need to ignore the lies that we're bombarded with from our culture. The lie that we will only find contentment and fulfillment in a relationship, and in particular, in that romantic kind of concept, that romantic idea, or tied up and bound up with sex. We need to push back on that. It's not true. But Paul says, remain as you are, be content in the situation that you're in, bring glory to God where you're at. I think it's wrong for us to think that being unmarried is less rewarding and fulfilling. It's like an inferior existence. That's the lie that our culture sells us, isn't it? If you're not married or in a relationship, you're going to die alone. You know, have you heard that? You know, you're going to die alone. You know, but in chapter 6, you know, we're in Christ. We're part of his body. Well, that's just wrong. You know, if you're not married or if you're not in a relationship, you're going to miss out on the best. Or your life will in some way be deficient and incomplete. I caught up with a friend this morning, a good friend, and we were just talking about this. She's not married, and she said, she really harmonised with Marty, one of the things that she struggles with in being unmarried is that some people pity her. You know, they feel, you know, just pity towards her, sort of saying, you poor thing. I think that's disgusting. I hope I've never done that. Let's make sure that we're not behaving like that here at Colour Room. Let's not believe the lies. If we trust God and we trust his word, tonight in this passage he's telling us, as Marty's alluded to, the exact opposite. Paul's making a very strong case for the single life. But we can only appreciate it. We can only really value it if we think big. And that's Paul's next point. His next piece of advice, consider for those who are considering marriage, think big. Have a look at verse 29 with me. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I absolutely love these verses. They're just so helpful for us understanding this whole section on relationships. They're so key for us understanding it. And we see in these verses, we see Paul contrast this age, the time that we live, with the one to come. So what Paul's saying is here is, if you're married, live as though you're not. Now, does he mean that? Well, not really. But what he's saying is, he's saying, think big. Marriage will pass away. Don't be distracted by your relationships. You know, if you're sad or happy, live as though you're not. Well, does he mean it? Not really. He's saying, think big. The end will overthrow weeping and joy. Don't be distracted by your emotions and your feelings. If you're buying things or caught up in the world, live as though you're not. Does Paul really mean that? No, not really. He's just saying, think big. These things will pass away. So the whole point of this section, or these few verses, 29 to 31, is that Paul's saying, don't get distracted. Think big. Think eternal. Think kingdom. We need to live in light of the end, knowing that we're children of God, that we're objects of grace, that our sin and rebellion has been dealt with on the cross. And one day, you and I, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if he's your Lord and Saviour, one day we will enjoy eternal life. When we really realise that and we see that for what it is, Well, that changes everything. Don't let your relationships or your feelings or your possessions get in the way of serving God. This applies to all of us, whether we're unmarried, engaged, separated, divorced, married. It applies to all of us. Paul's asking you and me the question tonight, are you distracted? Are you caught up in the things of this world? Whether it be relationships, our emotions, or our possessions? Or are you thinking big? Well, now that Paul has made this point, he's laid that foundation, he goes on and applies it to those who are engaged. Verse 32. I would like you to be free from concern and anxiety. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. What Paul is saying here is if you're thinking eternal, if you're thinking big, big picture, that might mean that you choose not to get married. Why? Well, so that you can be completely and utterly devoted to the Lord. When you're married, your time, your energy, your desires, the divided, will be torn between our family on the one hand and God's family. I felt this in a really practical way this week. On Friday, my youngest daughter, Kaya, she got sick. On Saturday, Nerilee and I were planning to go to Marriage Magic. And on top of this, I didn't have a sermon ready to go. I was torn. I was divided. You know, I had a sick daughter that needed looking after. I had a wife that we would have benefited greatly to getting some Marriage Magic. And I had a talk that I needed to present today. Having a family limits the time and energy we have to be completely devoted to God. Will God use this talk this evening, even though I've had limited time to prepare it? Absolutely. But Paul is saying, I would like you, he's saying, I would like you to be free from concern and anxiety that marriage brings. And trust me, it brings it. I felt it yesterday. I'm positive I've got more grey hair because of it. Paul's making a strong case for the single life. Now, when Paul writes these verses, he's not saying that someone like Marty is better, is more godly, is more spiritual than someone like me because I'm married and Marty's not. You know, Paul's not going there. Both Marty and I, we're both objects of grace. You know, Marty and I have worth, dignity and value because we're found in Christ. Both of us have put our trust in Jesus. But Marty is in a privileged position. He has more time and energy to devote to serving God. And I've experienced this. You know, tonight I was going to bring in all the books Marty has given me on theology over my 3 years of sitting under his teaching and just drop it, you know, on the floor. It would be very difficult for someone to put in that time and energy if they were divided. So I thank God for Marty's singleness. You know, now that I'm through college, you know, it doesn't really matter, doesn't it? Weekend gets up to. But that I appreciated that. That was a sacrifice that I've benefited from greatly. And it's the same with, say, Ben Lear and myself. Both Ben and I, we're Bible teachers. Ben works as a volunteer in our church. He leads a Bible study every week. I'm employed by the church to you know, study the Word, prepare sermons, catch up with men. You know, I'm paid to do that full time. Does that make me a better Christian, a more spiritual Christian than Ben? Absolutely not. Well, Ben and I, we're both objects of grace. You know, we both put our trust in Jesus. It just means that I'm in a more privileged position than Ben. You know, Christians graciously give their money so that I can spend time growing God's kingdom all week. That's Paul's point here. It's not about quality, it's about quantity. Paul wants us to think big. He wants us to think eternal. If you're married, Paul wants you, if you're not married, Paul wants you to wrestle with this. Would you consider not getting married so that you can devote yourself completely to God and growing his kingdom? Would you consider that? If you're married, do you feel that tension in your household between serving God and serving your family? Do you feel that? Or is it all out of balance? Are you serving your family and neglecting God? You know, or are you serving God? You know, you're out every night of the week, but you're neglecting your family. Or are you serving yourself and you're neglecting both your family and God? We need to find that balance between serving God and our families. It's really interesting, just in those verses, how Paul takes that for granted. You know, if you're not married, you're going to be devoted to the Lord. And if you are married, you're going to have this, you know, this tension. He just assumes that. And what this means for some of us is that we will choose not to marry. Now, here's the challenge for us as a church. We need to support and encourage them in this tough decision. We need to pray for them. We need to open our homes to them. We need to treat them as a family member. Because that's what they are. They're a brother or sister in Christ. We need to value and appreciate their decision. Because, you know what? God values and appreciates their decision. For some of us, this will mean that we will give up our careers and we will go off to Trinity to get trained. And as a church, we need to support and encourage people that want to do that. We need to pray for them. We need to support them financially. We need to find a job for them, or if we can't find one, we need to create one. We need to value and appreciate their decision because God values and appreciates that kind of decision. Paul wants us to think big, especially when we're considering marriage. Well, Paul's last piece of advice, be honourable, verses 36 to 38. I'll be starting at verse 36. Now, I'll be reading from the NRSV, so it'll be a little bit different if you're following along the NIV. Verse 36. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly towards his fiancée, if his passions are strong, and so it has to be, let him marry as he wishes. It is no sin. Let them marry. But if someone stands firm in his resolve, being under no necessity, but having his own desire under control and has determined in his own mind to keep her as his fiancée, he will do well. So then, he who marries his fiancée does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do better. Paul's final point here is be honourable. Respect your fiancée. Paul's already made the point that we're free to marry or not to marry, and that hasn't changed. But if you're in a relationship where you're working towards marriage or you're engaged to be married and the physical stuff is becoming a struggle, well, then Paul's advice is, you know, you might want to think about getting married. Now, it's not wrong to have these feelings. The more time you spend with someone, getting to know them, praying with them, reading the Bible with them, understanding what's important to them, what's not, you know, as you do that, you know, it's just natural that you want to be with them completely. You will want to be with them. I mean, you become more and more attracted to them sexually. And Paul's just saying, if you're feeling those feelings and you're in a relationship, which is normal and right, well, start thinking about marriage. Now, it's at this point that I just want us to understand what Paul's not saying here. If you're burning with sexual passion and you're not in a relationship, you're unmarried, Paul's not telling you to go out and find a Christian husband or wife. He's just not saying that. If you're single and burning with passion, Paul's already given us some really good advice on that. Can you remember chapter 6? Can you remember during that sermon, we identified those areas of vulnerability and we decided that we'd go away and work on them. We'd work at protecting ourselves and protecting others. Well, Paul's advice about sexual purity hasn't changed. We need to starve the beast within us. We need to master our sexual passions and desires to the point where they have no effect on our lives. That's his advice. So Paul's big idea running through this whole last section that we've looked at is, if you're considering marriage, be honourable. Show mutual respect to each other in your relationships. Well, let me wrap it up. Paul has given us three things to think about, to wrestle with, and to one day act upon or give advice on. We are to be free. We have the freedom to choose to marry or not to marry. We are to think big. Don't be distracted in this present age. Don't be distracted in your relationships, your emotions, or your possessions. Glorify God where you're at. Be content where you're at. We are to be honourable. Show respect in the way you conduct your relationships. Be honourable in your intentions and your actions. Our culture has much to say about relationships and marriage. We hear it in songs when we turn on the radio. We see it when we go to the movies. We read it and when we look at a novel. But I think our culture is giving us the wrong idea by promoting romance and sex as the goal of marriage, as the goal of relationship. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't have a part in our marriage and in our relationships. It definitely does, but it is not the goal. Our goal is to think big, to think eternal. We're called to bring glory to God wherever we're at and to be content in the situation that God has placed us in. Let's do that. Let's think big. Join with me as we pray.